No, Tony Gonzalez is out there acting like Peter Kahn's not blocking a damn thing. There's a run game too, sir. You know what Michael Turner could use? Someone blocking for him.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholics Crossfire Podcast. This podcast is not like our normal ones. In this format, we pit various writers and editors against each other on a variety of topics. For today's podcast, we have some familiar names. First and foremost, in this corner, she is my co-host on the Falcoholic Podcast and a good friend. She is none other than Touchdown Balls herself. Gina Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
Well, David, I'm doing great. I also want to point out that I'm not drinking because I have bronchitis. So that is another way in which this is different from our regular podcast.
I feel like the cough syrup serves as an intermediary in that regard. So.
Yes, it's the best I can do today. I'm actually putting some intensity and fire into my performance over here.
Woo, I like it. On the other side, we have a very special first in we have a two-headed beast going up against Gina because, let's be frank, that's what it's going to take. The first of those heads is the smarmy lawyer himself and the hot takes expert at the Falcoholic. Of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, Matt Chambers. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. I think we really like the idea of... Wait, sorry, I thought Dave was about to talk. I really think this is going to work out really well for... Dave, is that you? Dave, are you on the line?
Hello?
Either way, I think we've got a great plan set up for... Okay, sorry.
Where am I?
We've got a great plan set up for this. It's going to be a great episode of Crossfire. We're going to just completely destroy Gina.
Yeah, I'm not confident.
Wait, was that Dave? I couldn't tell who. Dave.
Hello?
Dave, help me out.
Hello?
Hello? It's going to be great.
Joining the smarmy lawyer on the other side of this combat tonight is none other than the man, the myth, the legend, the Falcoholic himself, the one and only Dave Choate. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm ready, sir.
Oh, boy.
That's the effort I want out of Dave.
This is going so well already.
Incredibly well.
All right. Guys, here is the format. The combatants will debate six topics tonight. We have pre-selected these ahead of time. And each side has decided which side of the topic they will debate. Each side will get exactly 60 seconds to make their case. After both sides have made their case, each side will get a 30-second window to make a rebuttal for any of the arguments they heard from their opponents. There are no rules of decorum. There are no limits on ad hominem. Just good old-fashioned in-your-face debates. Are you guys ready to begin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I already like the way that this is going.
This is going exceptionally well if you're a Gina Thomas fan. All right, first question. We have seen this season that Matt Ryan has put up some tremendous numbers, even in the midst of this losing season. Those numbers come on the back of a record-breaking 2016, a strong 2017. At the current pace, if Matt Ryan plays another 4 to 5 seasons, he will finish top 5, top 10 in many categories all time for NFL quarterbacks. So the first question is this. Dave and Matt, you will answer first. Does Matt Ryan need a Super Bowl ring to get into the Hall of Fame? You have 60 seconds to make your case. Go.
Dave, do you want to go or should I go?
You should probably go. You got it, buddy.
Okay. I got it. Thank you. Thank you for your support. I feel pretty good about Matt Ryan going to the Hall of Fame with no ring. I think if you look at almost any of his quarterback statistics, he's one of the top players to ever play the game. I don't think you can keep him out just because Kyle Shanahan doesn't know how to run the ball. We saw when you could have run the ball and win the Super Bowl. Oh, everything's Kyle Shanahan's fault right now. And, I mean, I think Matt Ryan is the sort of guy who's succeeded over the entire period of his career, and anyone else who says otherwise is a liar.
And I think if you take away the context of his career right now, where a lot of people think, you know, he's not any good because they've decided that 8 years ago and they're sticking to it forever.
5 seconds.
Yeah,
when you take that away, that's going
to wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Oh, no. I can't.
You're ruining this.
I'm dead.
Damn time. That's time.
Damn it, Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
Panicked.
Gina?
All right. I'm ready. I'm not going to take it easy on these guys.
I would not expect anything less. You have 60 seconds. Make your case.
All right. So, you know, one thing that I've learned going back to more of a beat instead of covering the league as a whole is that you get kind of honed in on the team that you're covering. And beat writers are many of the writers who vote for the Hall of Fame. And so they're looking at Matt Ryan and they've got this irrational hatred for him. And they say, you know, he can't be that good because he can't carry his team to wins. He's got all this talent to work with. You know, can't win a ring. I think that without that on his resume, it's not going to matter because he's had some truly spectacular seasons statistically, but doesn't really have the postseason success to show for it. And so that the memory of that success just kind of fades away in the national consciousness. And I think that that's why he gets so much shit from the media, because people aren't paying attention to what he actually does. So I think that without, you know, a championship, without being able to lead a team all the way and get a ring, I just don't see that the voters will actually embrace him and vote him into the Hall of Fame.
Time. Excellent. Matt, Dave, you have 30 seconds for any rebuttals. Are you ready? It doesn't matter because your time begins now.
Okay, beat writers are bad. So here's the thing. Matt Ryan is good. And when you get 10 years out from his career and, you know, you look at the volume of what he's done and you take away the fact that everybody's hung up on his weapons and so forth now, that's going to cease to matter. So he's not getting in first ballot, but he's good.
All right. Also, my response to Gina, boo.
Boo.
Real mature,
Real mature. Gina, you have 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Go.
My rebuttal is this. You're both dumb and wrong, and I'm right. So there you have it. Matt Ryan will not get in the Hall of Fame without a Super Bowl ring. Don't boss me. I don't even need the full allotted time. I've rest my case.
That was only 11 seconds and quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Second question, second topic for the night. Speaking of Hall of Fame, it was 5 years ago when Tony Gonzalez played his last game in the NFL in the 2013 season, which Falcons fans obviously would love to forget. That makes him eligible this year, 2018, after 5 years, to be voted on for the Hall of Fame. This question. Historically, tight ends have had a very hard time getting into the Hall of Fame first ballot. It is definitely inarguable that Tony Gonzalez is one of the best tight ends of all time. The question is this. Gina, you will start on this topic. Will Tony Gonzalez get into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot?
I think so. And I think that, you know, even looking past the fact that he is inarguably one of the best tight ends to ever play the position, he's a guy that, you know, every tight end who plays in the league looks up to. But he really was a pioneer in changing the trajectory of that position. Without Tony Gonzalez, we don't have guys like Rob Gronkowski and Kelsey and Ertz and Philly. Like, you just don't have those kind of guys who've become really fundamental parts of their team's successes. And he wasn't a great blocker, but everything else about the position he did very, very well. He was an incredible receiver, which is evidenced by, you know, NFL records that he holds For receiving. I don't know what they are. I don't have them in front of me, but you know that he holds them and I do too. And so, yeah, I think that especially because Tony Gonzalez changed the position forever and really helped shape it into what it is today, I think that he has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay. Matt, Dave, you've got 60 seconds. Make your case.
Hey, come Matt, on. Is Tony Gonzalez a wide receiver?
Oh, wait, what? Oh, come on. Come on, Dave. I thought we... Wait, Dave, do you want to go? I'm sorry, Dave. I'm just a little overworked right now.
I just tripped you up for no reason.
I apologize. I'm sorry. You go.
No, I was asking you, you know, is Tony Gonzalez a wide receiver? Because, you know, wide receivers don't have to block, right?
Yeah, no, Tony Gonzalez is out there acting like Peter Kahn's not blocking a damn thing. There's a run game too, sir. You know what Michael Turner could use? Someone blocking for him. So, I mean, that's great. He's catching a bunch of passes, but, I mean, so did Harry Douglas, and he's not going to the Hall of Fame.
Or is he?
Is that our next question? Is Harry Douglas a Hall of Famer?
Was that your argument? You have 10 seconds
Dave,
left.
I thought you were... Dave.
Yeah, so in the last 10 seconds, let's just put it this way. He was just a volume receiver. Like, great player, he'll get in eventually. Time. Not a first ballot.
Damn it, Dave!
Suck it in. Under the wire. Powerful argument.
Beyond the wire. Like several seconds beyond the wire.
I feel like he doesn't understand what under the wire means. But that's
I don't think so. It's maybe very it has near a the different wire. Meaning in Canada.
Those crazy Canadians and their funny wire sayings. I mean, Gina, you've got 30 seconds for... You've got 30 seconds to rebut whatever that was that they argued.
Oh, I'm gonna rebut. You wanna put Bear Pascoe in the Hall of Fame? Great blocker. Really, really important. Just a big game changer as a blocker. Does he belong in there? No. Blocking does not get you into the Hall of Fame. Making plays does, and putting points on the board does. And Tony Gonzalez did both of those things and shaped the position into what it's become today, which is one where you can see guys like Gronk and Ertz and Kelsey go in the second round of fantasy drafts. Like, the emphasis on the position is totally different. And Tony Gonzalez is the godfather of that. Boom. Suck it.
Time.
See, I know how the wire works, Dave. That was under the wire.
So, Gina, I'm just wondering, and you know, setting aside any question of wires here, so the fact that Tony Gonzalez ruined and changed the tight end position for the worse is an argument in his favor.
How did he change it? Just because we don't have a Tony Gonzalez type tight end anymore doesn't mean that he ruined it.
I want to hear more about Tony Gonzalez.
I would like to hear more about Tony Gonzalez too.
I feel like we're in draft. Does Dave
even
draft
know who we're
already
talking about?
I like Gonzalez.
Where the hell am I?
I think this is part of the rebuttal, but I really don't have any idea because
you
most of what
the
you're
timer,
saying.
You haven't set the timer, so no. We still get our 30 seconds.
Can we get a wire check? Where's the wire?
The wire is like 6 feet off the ground right now, but it's dropping. It's a dropping wire.
Yeah,
Dave, how does time work where you live? Is it a wire that's dropped
time
throughout the day?
What's time?
Oh, this is
time is an abstract
is circle.
This is not going to go well.
All right, we are moving on to the third topic. Speaking of players that think that they belong in the Hall of Fame, let's talk about Vic Beasley. I hope he isn't listening to this podcast.
Oh boy!
If he is, he's about to block me.
That would be the first time he's blocked someone all year. Anyhow,
is he an offensive lineman?
Yeah. Anyhow,
might as well.
The Falcons probably would fare better at this point.
Let's debate DW right now because that's what I want to do. How much blocking do you think Vic Beasley does?
Hey, we all got blocked by tack, so there is that. Let's talk about Vic Beasley. We all know that he is due $12 million guaranteed for injury in 2019 due to his fifth-year option as a first-round draft pick. To say that he has been disappointing this season would be an understatement. I think he has less than 10 tackles still on the season and just a couple of sacks at this point. So the question is this. Fans have been talking about this and debating this for the past several months. Will the Falcons keep Vic Beasley on the roster in 2019? Dave and Matt, you've got 1 minute to make your case. Go.
Dave, do you want to do rock, paper, scissors for this?
Yeah, let's go. Ready?
Okay.
Rock, right, ready. Paper, scissors. Okay.
Go.
Rock, paper, scissors. Shoot.
Wait.
I was scissors.
Did you not shoot on the first time? That's really cheating right now.
I don't know. I thought you weren't shooting, so.
I'd shot. Rock.
Okay, let's.
That's just, 20 seconds gone.
Dave, just go. I'll do something. I don't know.
Okay, I had scissors for the record. Vic Beasley is not coming back because Vic Beasley, you know, however much I like the guy, has played extremely poorly this year. Didn't play that well last year.
Get to it. Vic Beasley
has one good
trash
season. That's a little bit more mean-spirited than I would have gone with.
I don't need you to sugarcoat all this. Vic Beasley is hot garbage. That guy is a waste on the field. He sucks. He should not be getting $12 million from anybody.
Yeah, he's not going to get that money because he's not good enough.
Good job, Dave.
I'm glad
we're on a team right here. This is going swimmingly.
That was really great teamwork. That was excellent.
We're coming apart like the Falcons.
Oh God, Gina, well, you have a minute to rebut, or you have a minute to make your case. Go.
I don't know if y'all could hear it, but noted Vic Beasley fan Baxter Thomas must have overheard Mart, and he just started barking like crazy. So he disagrees with you, and so do I. I think that Vic Beasley will stick around in 2019. You know, he has the talent. I think that what you can't overlook is that coverage has been pretty bad overall. Trufant has quietly played a little bit better here lately, but he's had stretches where he's just been trash, and then Alford has not been that great, and obviously with the injuries to the safeties, you know, it's been a different situation back there. So
are you
that has
about
really
Vic Beasley at all during this Vic Beasley discussion?
Yeah, I'm just explaining how football works. You might want to pay attention. You'll probably learn something.
I figured
Beasley has
10
seconds to get to a quarterback. Is
when
that
your
efficient
coverage is that bad? You don't have as much opportunity to get to the quarterback. And so, yes, Vic Beasley needs more than one pass rushing move. And yes, he has not been good. But I think that he has shown enough promise, and they have enough invested in him that they'll keep him.
Hey, time. Hey,
just over and a little bit beyond the wire.
We call that a Canadian under the wire.
Yes,
that was over the wire. Damn it, that was over the wire.
All right, Dave, Matt, you have 30 seconds to make your rebuttal.
You know what Desmond Trufant is saying? Desmond Trufant is saying, "Get somebody who can get anywhere near the quarterback. I'm out here trying to cover some guy for like 15 seconds straight." We're hoping Vic Beasley can like accidentally bump ass backwards into a quarterback. That shit's not happening. He's just, it doesn't matter what tackle it is. It can be like some third string guy after like five injuries, and he's just like, boom, I tried going around him and it didn't work, so I'm done.
Five.
Vic Beasley's spin move takes a full minute.
Time. 30 seconds. Oh, God. Wow. Gina, you have... Yeah, I'm sorry. That one got me. Gina, you have 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Go.
Look, I gotta be honest. I like Vic as a player, but this is a real hard case to make. I can't lie. You know, he just hasn't progressed. I think that they probably will keep him. I don't know if that's the best idea, but I think that they're going to, and hopefully they'll add some other pass rushing talent, because he has looked better when Tack has been able to get some pressure off the other edge. So, you know, if they can get somebody who can maybe draw double teams, maybe it would work out for Vic. I don't know. That was a very half-hearted rebuttal. I give up.
That was like right into the wire.
We found the one indefensible Falcon position, and it is Vic Beasley good? And no one
was signing up for that.
Well, to be fair, the question was not is he good, but will he be on the roster in 2019? Which is
that's right.
Oh, actually,
which is
yeah,
the case if, that if I made.
You know, actually, the point could be Thomas Dimitrov is going to Sam Baker this shit up, and we are all going to see this coming away. We're going to see this from like a mile away. It's going to be like a horror movie. Or like, what are you doing? No, don't go in the bedroom. What? That's where the killer is. Except he's going to be paying Vic Beasley $12 million to suck.
That's exactly what I expect. Is he going to do it in the bedroom, though?
I mean, maybe.
All right, now that we've visited the darkness, let's come back to our next question. Our fourth of six.
Which is more darkness.
It is more darkness. And this actually goes to an article I wrote at thefalcoholic.com, your favorite site. Please check it out on a daily basis for fresh and hot content. And that asks the very simple question, is Dan Quinn really just Mike Smith 2.0? Gina, I'll go to you first with this one. You've got a minute to make your case.
So, no, he is not really just Mike Smith 2.0. If you look at the way that Smitty handled young guys, and I mean, I think that we're seeing more veterans get playing time at spots where, you know, they probably are at the point now in the season where they should get some young guys out there and let them get some experience. So I guess there's a similarity, the game management stuff. Yeah, I see it. But just on postseason success alone, I don't think that you can look at Quinn and Smitty and say that they are the same coach. You know, Quinn does have some blind spots. I think that, you know, in year four, they're much more evident because now we have enough of a sample size to see those consistencies over time. Definitely room to improve. But when you are able to take a team from what it went through losing Smitty after the 2014 season and then end up going 8-8 despite a 6-game skid in 2015, that's a pretty big turnaround. And then taking them to a Super Bowl the next year and, you know, they should have won it. And then making it back to the playoffs last year, I don't think that you can look at what he's done with this team in the postseason and say that he is Smitty 2.0.
Time. Excellent. Dave, Matt, you've heard Gina's argument. You have 60 seconds. Make your case.
Dan Quinn is Mike Smith without the hair and with better instincts in the draft.
Oh.
His in-game tendencies, as much as I like the guy, are just as baffling. The decisions he makes with time, the decision he makes in crucial situations. You know, he's built a much better football team. That team can win in spite of those decisions, but he needs to do what Mike Smith never did and get himself an in-game helper because he is smittying it. He is smittying
it. Can you speed this up a little bit? We're not on a Canadian wire right now. Dan Quinn reminds me of when dogs start looking like their owner. I feel like we're in year four and Dan Quinn is starting to be Mike Smith from top to bottom. I'm seeing them rush three guys on Drew Brees. Hey, you know what? I've seen that every game the last decade. It hasn't worked. And all this stupid playing, just no idea what happens with the time in any sort of game. Just fucking everything up. Okay, are we swearing in this? I don't think I asked. I've sworn
language.
Yeah, we're
you
always.
Can swear as much as you want.
We're right, always right. Swearing.
Shit.
We're talking about Falcons. How are we supposed to get through that without swearing?
We can't. It's not possible. Gina, you've got 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Go.
Do you guys remember how it felt to watch Mike Smith lead this team to a Super Bowl in his second season? No, of course you don't, because that never happened. Do you remember what it felt like to win only one playoff game under Smitty? Yeah, you do, because that did happen. And that was a really good feeling, but what wasn't a good feeling was blowing a lead in the NFC Championship the next week so that they missed a trip to the Super Bowl. Do you remember what it was like to lose to the Giants in the playoffs and only get 2 points because all you could score was a goddamn safety? I remember it vividly. Five. You know who won't do that? Dan Quinn. Rest my case.
Time. Dave, Matt, you've got 30 seconds. Go for it.
If Dan Quinn had Brian Van Gorder and Mike Mularkey, it would be the same thing.
Oh my God.
Mike Smith never lost a 28-3 lead. That's all I'm saying.
I'm like bleeding from my eyes right now.
Sorry, I just
Matt, have you seen
depressed.
Any good movies recently? We got some time.
Do a few minutes. Let's see.
Time.
What have I been
time.
Watching?
Time. God damn it. Time. Oh Jesus.
So actually, on Netflix is a show. David Tell with what's that other comedian's name? Oh man.
If Chris were here, he would know. We watched it the other night. It's
not
funny.
Bad, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I give that a half-hearted
anyway.
Recommendation. Oh, yeah.
David
Tell
is the
okay.
one that's Canadian, right? He's a Canadian.
Gina, can I join your team?
I'm so sad.
How do we work out a trade?
I will give you Matt for free. I will pay you the trade, Matt.
We don't work out trades. We're the Falcons. We don't make efforts to get better during the season. Give me a break.
Ooh. Hey, wait. So you're arguing that you taking Matt would make you better?
Well, shit.
How could it not?
I rest
right?
my
Hello?
Case.
Hello?
Oh, the Canadian's wow. salty.
Wow, this is bumming me out.
We have
Salty
two more questions,
I gotta go,
and
guys.
I really doubt our ability to get through this, but I'm just going to launch right into it. The next question is this. On the heels of talking about Vic Beasley, a somewhat disappointing second season from Tack McKinley, will the Falcons, remember, they will have some cap space, and they will potentially have a top 10, top 12 draft pick. Will the Falcons have a top 15, top half of the league, pass rush unit in 2019. Dave, Matt, make your case.
After you, sir.
I mean, I was trying to do the polite thing and go after you.
Well, I appreciate that. No, I really do insist.
I insist.
You go first. Do you remember what we were arguing here?
What side do we have on this one, actually? Because I did not write that down.
You have 30 seconds to say that yes, they will have a top unit,
oh,
top
wow.
15
we
unit.
Yes,
we have a top. 15?
And I'll tell you why they will have a top unit, and I'm going to tell you this right now. And it's because they're going to spend half of their cap space on the defensive line, and they're going to look at what they tried to do this year with Derek Shelby and Brooks Reed and Vic Beasley and go, what the hell were we thinking? And they're going to fix it. End of story.
Time.
Under the wire. Under the wire.
I've there's so many comments I want to make, but Gina, I'm just going to turn it over to you to make your case. You have 60 seconds. Go.
Well, you know, I said that the team will keep Vic Beasley, so now I am contractually obligated to also say they will not have a top 15 pass rush, because that's going to be part of the reason, okay? Vic really, he just hasn't developed, and he's not the answer, and this team has proven that they have a tremendous blind spot when it comes to scouting pass rushing talent. So I think that we'll see improvements next year across the board. I think, you know, you'll get some healthy players back on defense, you know, hopefully come up with a resolution to the guard situation, which is all a catastrophe right now. But the pass rush is something that I do not think is going to see that kind of immediate turnaround. They just don't have the talent. They don't do a good job of scouting that talent. They don't do a good job of developing that talent. And so, you know, unless Grady Jarrett leads the charge and does all the sacking from the interior line, I don't really see that they're going to make a big turnaround this year. And I do not expect them to be top 15.
Time. All right. Dave, Matt, I hesitate to give you this time, considering what you did with it last time, but you have 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Go.
I mean, to be fair, like, Tech could be, he could be good. So, you know,
think
about that.
I think Tech is good. I think.
Yeah.
Tack will be good. Tack will be good.
Yeah.
Good Tack.
Yeah. he'll be better. Right?
And a draft pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That draft Jarrett? Pick's going to be that draft pick's going to be good.
Jack Crawford? I mean, Jack Crawford's good at football.
Yeah, Jack Crawford, he's pretty good. So that's top 15 right there.
Time.
Good. All right.
We did it. Good, Dave, good job.
Did it.
Good job.
You did
nice work.
We're really coming along at the end. The team works.
Unlike
really
the Falcons.
Really doing the opposite of what the Falcons do.
Exactly. At all times.
Gina, you have 30 seconds for your probably completely unnecessary rebuttal, but go ahead. You've got 30 seconds. Go.
can you even imagine this team with a top 15 pass rush? I think that it's against the law or something. Like, I think that there's some kind of legal situation that has required, like, maybe it went along with the new stadium, or, you know, Arthur Blank sold his soul to the Giant Metal Falcon or something. There's been some kind of unholy agreement along the way that this team will just never field a viable pass rush. I think that those are the rules. And the play that we've seen over the course of time bears that out. So that's clearly the case. Great rebuttal. I'm very impressed with myself.
That's this is why you that need a teammate, because when you say that out loud, it's just sad. Rebuttal.
That went way off the rails.
Sex don't matter.
I feel like that entire segment was a combat between two unarmed men slapping each other. So congratulations, I guess.
We have we did it,
we
guys.
Have one more.
Hey, that one arm's gonna be question. Pretty strong.
Do we even need the one more question? I feel like me and Dave have really just competently just won all of these.
Competent domination.
I feel like we do.
Is there even any debate here?
No, I'm running this. Damn it, you're answering the last question. Last question. Thank God. This Falcons season has been a rough one. The Falcons are currently 4-8. The best that they can finish the season is at 500 at 8-8 season. The worst that they will finish is 4-12. So this question is a simple one. Over under, the Falcons will finish 2018 with 6 or more wins. Dave and Matt, you have 60 seconds. Make your case.
Dave, you wanna do this one, or you want?
Yeah, I'll take it. Yes,
you got it.
The Falcons will finish with 6 wins, exactly 6 wins. And the reason they will do that is because, thank you very much.
A little louder, though.
That's really kind, actually.
Can't really hear you.
Thank you. God, sorry. Okay. Well, anyways, I'm going on here. They're gonna finish with 6 wins for the simple reason that. Yeah. Okay. Well, give me some time here.
A little louder than just a little.
Because they're going to screw up their draft position and the pressure's off. So they're going to, you know, Matt, it would help me a little bit if you would just kind of take a seat on this one.
Am I talking too much? I'm sorry. I will not interrupt you again. I will give you as much time as you need.
Okay. Thank you.
To answer this question.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
No, I appreciate now, your support, but okay. Thank you.
Okay. We got it.
Great. Okay. 10 seconds. So. Yeah, 6 wins because they have 2 easy games left on their schedule against the Bucks and the Panthers, haha, and the Cardinals, the 3.
Time.
And they'll screw up their draft position. Under the wire.
Good.
Under the wire.
Extremely not under the wire. Extremely not.
Nailed it.
Very got close it. To under the wire.
Wrap it up.
Was it close?
Proud of you, buddy. Proud of you.
Thank you. You know what? I appreciate that. Look at this.
Wait,
this is what
when
teammates
you live
do.
North of the wall, really a lot of things together. Seem close.
Cohesion.
Gina, you've got 60 seconds to make your case.
Yeah.
6 wins. Go.
I mean, first of all, I'm happy to let the boys have some extra time because obviously they need it desperately. So let's, you know, Dave, you can come in, quote, under the wire as much as you'd like. That's fine. Because here's the thing, everybody has seen the Falcons play the Browns, the Saints, the Cowboys, and the Ravens, and they looked flat and lackluster and disinterested, and I do not see this team winning another game. They are mentally defeated. They have just given up. I don't see them win another game. All the games left on their schedule are winnable. So were those last 4 games that I mentioned, and they haven't done shit. I just think that they are done. I think that they are mentally checked out. I think that they're looking toward next year. I think they know they can't get it done this year, and they're just going to lose out, and they're not even going to do it on purpose. It's not tanking. They're just very bad. They are a very bad football team. That is why they will not get to 6 wins and probably will stay at 4 wins. It is so depressing to talk about this.
Oh, wait, whoa. Hey. That was like north of the wire, somewhat.
North of the wire.
That's
yes.
The bad side of the wire.
Yes. That is.
Or as we call it, Canada.
Yes.
Again, you can slander my brothers to the north.
It's it's like the wire's hat. Anyone get that Canada hat joke?
Precisely.
Okay. I wanted someone to get it.
Precisely.
Yeah, what's that, a boot? All right, Dave, Matt, you have 30 seconds for your rebuttal.
Go. Oh, yeah. I mean, I disagree. Oh, is there still more time? How much
time goes on? That was very dramatic, though.
Dave, can you help me out?
It was great. Yeah, so again, you know, the pressure's off. The Falcons always do the thing that you don't want them to do and you don't expect them to do. And so the obvious thing is they're going to lose all their games because they stink. So they're going to win at least a couple games because that's what we don't want them to do because we want them to get the draft.
Time.
So, case closed.
Buddy, we killed it. We killed it.
We did.
You killed something. Now. Gina, you've got 30 seconds. Go.
This team is bad. You guys are bad. You guys are wrong, and I am correct. This team is not going to win two more games this season. Boom. Roasted. They can have no extra time because they need all the help that they can get.
If you have to hurt somebody's feelings. Exactly. If you have to hurt somebody's feelings, you've already lost. It's like you've already lost.
It's like a caged animal or something. Like it's gonna lash out at you, and this is just it's what Gina's doing, and it's just sad.
Personal opinion here. If you're too weak to be, you know, insulted online, you probably shouldn't interact with people online. I'm just saying.
Are you the moderator here, or
yeah, what are you doing here?
I honestly don't know. I've been asking that for like 6 years.
Rustling some jimmies. Rustling the jimmies.
Oh, well. That, of course, was our last question, mercifully. We are going to bring tonight's Crossfire podcast to a merciful close, but not before we get some quick information from each of our combatants. So, Matt Chambers, I'm going to start with you. Tell our listeners where they can find you and what you've got going on.
Yeah, send all of your hate tweets to me at FuckaholicDW. I will also have some I'll have some sort of articles on the Falcoholic. I think we all are. That's you know, go check out that website for some of our sweet, sweet Falcons content on this terrible, terrible football team.
Long snapper butts.
That is definitely our wheelhouse.
That was the first image to pop up, and I was like, oh, well, I have to use it, right? I can't.
It was beautiful. It called to me.
I blame the photographer who was like, I need to get this angle of Josh Harris right now snapping the ball. And you know what? I'm going to upload it to all the wire services, so it's going to be the last thing that pops up when everyone looks at Josh Harris, so. Not my fault, guys. Not my fault. But Josh Harris's butt is on the Falcoholic right now.
Yeah.
And famous.
Quite literally it is. Josh Harris, if you're listening to this, I would apologize, but I really don't think this is the worst thing we've ever done. So, Dave, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, what you've got going on?
You can find me on Twitter at TheFalcoholic, which is also our website, and you should check it out, as Matt said.
Which is also dedicated to Josh Harris's butt.
It is indeed, and pretty much what we got going on over the last 4 weeks is balancing the need to cover each game, as we always do, with our unending sadness and the prospect of drafting in the top 10. So it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Tune in.
Another great job, buddy. Another great job.
Thanks. You know what? I appreciate that.
You know what? I appreciate you as a teammate.
What a great night. You know, we should get like matching singlets or something.
Well, if you open up the Christmas present I got for you right now, you will find a singlet that matches.
Hell yes.
The singlet I'm wearing right now.
Of course. Oh dear God.
Like I read our group chat sometimes. I'm just sitting here and shaking my head. Literally just shaking my head.
Ginny, you've got to help us close this thing out. Tell the listeners where they can find you. Get us the hell out of here.
You can find my work at falcoholic.com. You can find me on the Falcoholic podcast. You can find me on Fox 5 in Atlanta on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on Thursday Night Kickoff. And you can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas, where I'm mostly being mad online or posting pictures of my dog. So I live a very exciting life. You should all be very jealous.
Excellent. Guys, as always, you can find me on Twitter. This is DW at FalcoholicDW. My articles at thefalcoholic.com and, of course, weekly on the Falcoholic podcast. So for Matt Hot Takes Chambers, Dave the Falcoholic Choate, and Gina Touchdown Balls Thomas, this is David Walker. DW, thank you guys for tuning in to this Crossfire podcast, and we will talk with you next time. W, thank you guys for tuning in to this cross.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.